Welcome to The Educated Investor, brought to you by the Householder Group Estate and Retirement Planning. At Cishon Financial, Regional Vice President David Cishon takes a proactive approach to helping you develop a strategy to address your financial goals and objectives using the most efficient methods available. Now, here's your host, Scott Whatley and David Cishon.
Welcome to The Educated Investor. My name is Scott Whatley. We are glad to have you with us today, and it is always good to have David Cishon with us. CishonFinancialServices.com is the website, and they're with the Householder Group. David, how are you, sir?
Well, I'm very good, Scott. Thanks for asking, and how are you doing?
I'm doing well. I tell you, real quick, were you shocked the way the Super Bowl went?
Oh, God, yeah.
I figured
it would be much closer and tighter and
wow,
more exciting, you know?
I tell you, being, of course, a Bronco fan, we've never been big fans of the Patriots, but you got to hand it to Tom Brady, man, to be at win seven. Are you kidding me? That's crazy, isn't it?
Well, it is, and especially going down to a new team and then getting them to function as they did the second half of the season, and then last night, I mean, I couldn't believe that
I know
their defense was as strong as it was.
Yeah, absolutely.
And led to their offense.
It sure did. Yeah, Bill Belichick may not be in a good mood today. Oh, wow. Well, again, this is The Educated Investor, and each week we certainly thank David for bringing us the education side to all the things with financial planning and how to take care of your retirement. And today we're going to talk about a topic, and then we're all going to let you know about some upcoming classes that are going to be happening in March once again, and we are proud that those are going to be happening once again in person, and we'll give you those dates and times a little later. But so, Dave, this matter of insurance, you talk about a confusing arena for most people. It's a pretty confusing deal sometimes.
Well, you know, the whole area of insurance is to protect some of your financial assets. And there's a variety of different insurances that we are all exposed to. And it all depends on how much protection we really want. And you know, some of the obvious and simple things are, you know, like someone owns a house, and if you have a mortgage on the house, then you have to have homeowner's insurance that typically covers all sorts of disasters and fires and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
Those homeowner's insurance policies that all these companies issue are there, again, to protect the assets. If you have a mortgage, you have to have the insurance. If you don't have a mortgage, well, there's nothing that says you have to have homeowner's insurance. You're just assuming the risk of the entire value of that home if something were to happen.
Right.
And most people, of course, just can't assume that kind of risk. You know, you have a $300,000-$400,000 house or even a $200,000 or whatever, and you don't have the wherewithals to replace it, you know, you've got no choice but to have some sort of insurance. And I'll tell you, this is kind of interesting because when clients come in, that's part of the analysis that we always ask to look at the policies on a person's home. And it's kind of revealing when you start looking at it based on what the answers are that they told you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
and many times they just don't go in sync. And like on the homeowner side of things, you know, you want to make sure that you have coverage for your contents, and you want to make sure you have coverage for the exterior and the home itself. And you want to make sure that you have enough insurance.
Right.
And I ask people all the time when they come in, how did you determine how much insurance you should have on your home? Most people can't answer that. They don't know. And a lot of people who have insurance policies especially ones that, at least ones that we see that are with direct writers, you know, maybe Allstate or some of these
sure.
other companies, and they're all good companies, but most of the time they depend on the insured to tell them.
I know, you're right.
You know, or they'll send a form and they'll say, fill it out and send it back. Well, I don't know the cost of a 2x4 from a 2x6.
Sure.
And I'll tell you where the big problem comes in. And we see this more than we should. If a client has a partial loss. Now, in Colorado, we've got these hailstorms.
Mm-hmm.
So let's say we have a hailstorm and it wrecks your roof and you've got to put a new roof on. And the adjuster comes out and says, Scott, oh, well, geez, don't worry about it. You're covered. You're covered. Then he does his calculations, and he finds out that you're only covered to 70% of the value
right.
of that roof. Well, from what I'm told, of course, the key number is 80%. You have to have 80% in order to get 100% replacement, less your deductible. And we see time and again where, yeah, they're covered, but instead of getting 100% less the deductible back, they're getting 70, 65, 72% less their deductible. $30,000 roof, you're only getting 70% less your deductible. You're at 21 grand instead of 30.
Exactly.
So that's an issue that we see more times than we really should. And again, Colorado sees a lot of these hailstorms, not just the roof, but on siding and cars. Remember a few years ago, I mean, storms that we had.
Oh, yeah.
Thousand cars. I mean,
sure.
It was just unbelievable.
Right. Yeah, it even kills some animals, if I remember right, at the Cheyenne Mountain Zoo. Just huge hailstones.
Huge damage, and the power is tremendous. But again, insurance is kind of important thing to have because, you know, you don't want to lose your house or spend all extra monies that you don't have repairing it if you're not properly insured. So we many times recommend to folks that every 2 or 3 years they should have, and I recommend an independent insurance agent.
Right.
Typically.
And, you know, there's nothing wrong with shopping, you know, around a little bit, because I think sometimes we just think, you know, okay, we had State Farm, we're supposedly in good hands, but maybe not.
Well, it's like anything. Yeah. They're good companies.
Sure.
They're all good, big companies. But again, I like to hold their feet to the fire from time to time for my clients and make sure they're doing the job that they should be doing.
Right.
And making sure that the customers and the clients have the right coverage and the right amounts on an ongoing basis. So I recommend to our prospects all the time, and clients actually, every 2 or 3 years, do a review. If you're not doing it annually, at least every 2 or 3 years, do a review with an independent insurance agent who can write with a number of different companies. And, of course, we use a company that you're very well aware of that help our clients, GIA, all the time. Very, very good in, mm-hmm. in integrity and
right. And, you know, Kevin Flesh, the attorney we use for personal injury, he said, boy, you know, it's amazing how many people think, he says, what kind of coverage do you have after they have an auto accident? And they say, full coverage.
Yeah.
And they have no idea what that means. And he looks at their policy and they've got, you know, $25,000, the policy minimums you can carry. So you're right.
Right. And we're seeing that. We see that, too. And the automobiles are very important. And, of course, automobiles and homeowners have liability coverage, so that if you're having one of those Super Bowl wild parties and someone is imbibing too much and happens to fall down your stairs, you know, they may not sue you for $100,000 if they can't work for the rest of their lives. And or automobile coverage. You know, they might have $100,000 of coverage, but if you got in a car accident with a young family or a professional with a family or whatever, and you've got $100,000 of liability coverage, the chances are really good that they're not going to stop at the $100,000. They're going to go to millions. if the situation warrants it. And this is another area where we talk to people about what we call umbrella policies, excess liability policies that sits on top of the liability that you have in your homeowners or automobile policies to provide additional coverage and protection against your assets, something bad happens.
And Dave, some of these extra things that we're talking about here are not real, real expensive either, are they?
Well, no. umbrella policies are very, very inexpensive. I know that a lot of our clients will pick up $1 million or $2 million, but like $1 million husband and wife, let's say they're, you know, typical couple of cars in the home and, you know, they're living by themselves, you know, that might cost them $150 a year for an extra $1 million. Whew.
Right.
That's pretty inexpensive.
Sure.
To protect those assets as best you can, you know, so that... This area is just one that people tend to not forget about, but, you know, we pay so much in premiums for so many different types of insurance policies that a lot of people just don't like to address it, you know. And then every once in a while, when they get a renewal and it's gone up 22%, now they want to address it.
Sure, sure.
You know.
And I guess you kind of got to look at, you know, the term we'll hear sometimes is replacement cost as well, right?
Well,
when it comes
sure.
to the home, yeah.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, a lot of people will say that we have seen that they, you know, we try to encourage replacement cost across the board, but we see far too many that just have a certain amount of insurance. Like they started with $300,000 on their homeowners, and they haven't really changed in 5, 8, 10 years. And it's not a replacement cost type of thing. Something bad happens, they're only going to get the max if it's a total of that amount. And it might take them now double that amount to rebuild that house.
Mm-hmm.
So replacement cost is a very important type of coverage. Same thing with medical payments. Like under homeowners or automobile coverages.
right. Yeah, Kevin,
you know,
talks about
some, yeah, that. You got some excellent commentary by your attorneys about this stuff. Very, very important, very good concept to address in this environment that we live in, because, you know, I forgot how many thousands of lawsuits are filed every minute in the United States, but it's literally thousands.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you're right.
You know, and it's for any reason. So it's best that we address these coverages and review them from time to time and make sure that we're up to date and we're protecting those assets. Because, again, it's just not protecting assets from the stock market or in the investment world. It's protecting those hard-earned assets. Just imagine if you retired and ready set for a nice retirement, all of a sudden you get sued and you lose your house.
Sure.
Whoa.
Yeah. Yes, sir. Once again, you're listening to The Educated Investor. David Cishon is with us. Their number, 720-482-1917. And we thank David. It's always a free consultation. All you got to do is call, and maybe you've been thinking about your financial affairs, so to speak, and your retirement, and maybe you're just wanting to get that second look, and we've talked about that a number of times on the show. But David is happy to meet with you, and whether in person at his office there in Greenwood Village or by the internet now, the Zoom meetings we do, either way will be good. 720-482-1917. And David, I know probably most people that you deal with as well, you know, are homeowners probably and all, but you know, just to real quick, touch on the renter's insurance. If someone is renting, man, there's a lot of things to know there as well.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, renter insurance, it just means you don't own the house or the condo, let's say, of some sort, some strange variation, but you've got your own personal items and furniture inside. A lot of these places will cover the outside of the apartment or condo building, but again, you've got personal property that you own. you know, what would happen if there's a fire and a lot of your personal properties burn up inside and you don't have them covered, you got a problem. It's going to cost you a lot of money. Not only that, but then you got to go live somewhere. How are you going to get your expenses paid if you have renter's insurance, if you will? You can have those kinds of costs covered if something happens.
Right.
Same with liability. You have a party in your apartment and someone falls down or has a problem and they want to sue you. You got to have, again, liability that covers for any kind of accidental injury that could occur.
Mm-hmm.
Same with medical payments. It's no different than homeowners, but again, it's a confined area. You don't own the actual residential unit, but you own everything inside. And so computers, you might have a computer or laptop that you take to work, or now working out of your apartment.
Sure.
And again, you might have to, files from where you work that you take home from time to time. How are they covered if something happens?
Mm-hmm.
Whose liability is that? And renter's insurance is relatively inexpensive. It's not very, very expensive for most people.
Right.
But it's, again, things that tend to slip by the mind for whatever reason, because people forget about their insurance policies. They forget to ask the questions, you know, what am I really covered for?
Mm-hmm.
And what limits am I covered for? And how much do I have to pay first before I get the coverage?
Right, right.
You know,
just real quick, and I'm just thinking of a few things that we've had brought to our attention with our Haystack Help Show, where some people in a basement may flood with sewage, and they're not protected there. They're only protected for flood if the water comes down, not if the water comes up. So that's what I was saying at the beginning. You got to ask questions.
Yeah. Well, you got to ask questions, and you've got to ask questions to people that really
right.
know their business.
Yes.
You know, we just see so many things that they call someone up and they give them a two-sentence answer, and it should lead to other questions, or you may want to, as I say, peel the onion back a little bit more so you get clarity, all right? Which is why when we do things for our clients, everything that we do or recommend, we put in writing.
Sure.
It's just not verbal over the phone, oh, hey, go do this.
Yep.
Where people can misinterpret or misunderstand. Again, this kind of insurance, homeowners, automobile, it's all important stuff. And it's good to have a good understanding of what is covered and what is not, so you can make an intelligent decision.
No, absolutely. Very, very, very important. And which brings us to kind of the next category we'll discuss for a few minutes, and that's the matter of life insurance.
Yeah, you know, it's kind of it's interesting when you ask people what do they think about life insurance, and most people have some. As a matter of fact, the three largest assets that most people have in this country, one is their home, two, their retirement accounts, or IRAs, or 401ks, and number three, cash value life insurance. And but it's kind of interesting when we look at and review their insurance, life insurance. I always ask them, well, why do you have it? What's the purpose? And you know, inevitably or invariably, the purpose is, well, we got married and the kids we're coming along, and we should have some life insurance in case we're not here to protect them. Well, that's a good reason to have life insurance. number two, what we hear about, oh, my father bought this policy when I was 6 years old, And we've just kept it all these years for no apparent reason except that he gave it to us and we didn't want to get rid of it.
Right.
Yeah, we kept it, you know. And insurance has always been sold by insurance agents, for the most part, it's a death benefit. You die, someone else wins. Right?
Mm-hmm.
You die,
yep.
Someone else wins. Well, and there's a need for that. And many times we see people that will come in, and there's different types of insurance. And I'll keep it really simple here in the sense that you can buy insurance that will cover you for a certain period of time. It's called term insurance. It's very inexpensive for the most part, unless you're very ill or sick. Very inexpensive, and it covers you for X thousands of dollars for a period of time, a couple of years, 5 years, 10 years, maybe to age 65, maybe until the kids are out of college, maybe until the mortgage paid off, whatever the case might be. And again, it's inexpensive. Second type of insurance is what they call whole life insurance. And whole life insurance is life insurance, pays off the same as term, but it builds cash value. It builds money in the policy. And you normally have to put a lot more money in the policy in premiums every year than term insurance.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, you always do. But a part of that premium goes into a savings account within the life insurance company. And that savings account can grow, and not very exciting growth, maybe 4 or 5% a year, but it's guaranteed by the insurance company. And no one can lose it, no one can get at it, and it grows very nicely. We've seen situations where people have been paying premiums into this whole life insurance for a number of years, and I'll give you a perfect example, one that was in last week that we worked on. They've been putting in $10,000 a year into premium on the guy's policy. And for every $10,000 that they put in, by the end of the year, they were having $13,000 in cash value.
Okay.
And every year that goes up. Hmm. Now, I know it sounds kind of interesting, but if someone said to you, Scott, give me $10,000 at the end of the year, I'll give you $13,000 back. What would you do?
Yeah.
But you see,
sure.
Unfortunately, people don't look at insurance that way. Most people look at it as a death benefit to someone else in case something happens.
Right.
I want to tell you, we show people how to use life insurance to grow tax-free money, and then when they take it out in the form of income later on, it's tax-free forever.
Wow.
Now, what would you rather have, taxable income or tax-free income?
Sure.
Of course, it depends on the amount.
Right, right.
But just conceptually, you know, that's why I say to our clients, I want to get you to the number zero in taxes, if at all possible. Now, it's rarely possible, but the fact of the matter is, if we can reduce taxation, or if we can have a program that's going to generate tax-free income forever and ever, and, oh, if by chance you happen to die along the way, all of the death benefit goes to that person or persons tax-free forever. You know, it's just how you look at this tool. This tool of life insurance is just a tool, all right?
Right.
And unfortunately, most people have never looked at it in the manner that perhaps they should, especially if they're trying to convert, for example, IRA monies to tax-free monies. If they do it the right way, life insurance is another option for them to do it, and they can get some decent returns and have that money protected. Remember, with most of these contracts that exist, zero is your hero. You can't go below zero.
Right.
well, you can go below zero in the stock market, right?
Sure.
Remember in February and March, yeah. the markets were down 35%.
Right, right.
And it took all these months to recover. And that's just the beginning. But insurance has a purpose, has a place. It's just a question of what type makes the most sense for you people, you as a client, based on your estate and what you're trying to do.
And this is just one of the areas that you will be able to learn a little bit more of in the Rejuvenate for Your Retirement. And this is going to be held in March, but we want to give you plenty of notice. So this is going to be held at the Arapahoe Community College Parker Campus, located at 15653 Brookstone Drive, and that is right by Chaparral High School. But real quick, we're going to do a couple of different days here with a morning and afternoon session. So you've got Tuesdays, March the 9th and 16th. That will be 9:30 a.m. to 11:30 a.m., and so two classes there. Or you can do Thursdays, and that will be held March 18th and the 25th, and that will be from 1 p.m. to 3 p.m. There is a $35 registration for these, but I'm telling you, all that you're going to learn about, and we just barely touched on the surface of the insurance area, but there's many areas that David will go through, and all you have to do is call 303-797-5722 to reserve your spot, and if you want to bring a spouse or a friend, you're welcome to do that. And David, they also get a couple of things to take home with them as well, right?
Yeah, we got manuals that they can take for each part of the course. The first day is three sections that we talk about, and at a later date we'll talk about those. And then they get a workbook on that. And then the following week, on the next three subjects, with a textbook on those. And of course, Arapahoe Community College. Is the organization, and Arapahoe Community College is where you pay your money. You don't pay it to us. We
right.
don't take any of the money. And most people find these courses quite enlightening, what we talk about. And again, it's an enjoyable kind of a session, and it flows real nice and easy.
No, absolutely. Once again, that number is 303-797-5722, and it is Tuesdays, March 9th and 16th, 9:30 a.m. to 11:30 a.m., or Thursdays, March the 18th and 25th, and that will be from 1 p.m. to 3 p.m., and once again, that's at Arapahoe Community College Parker Campus on Brookstone, right by Chaparral High School. So, David, I tell you, interesting times, and, boy, I tell you, just everything going on, all of those in this. In our age bracket, we got to really start paying attention to this matter of retirement and how things are going to go. Hey, real quick, I got about 60 seconds here. Someone asked us about cryptocurrency and just thought if you thought, that made sense, thought if you thought, but they were wondering if you thought that maybe our currency may go away sooner than we think and we may all be dealing in cryptocurrency.
Well, you know, there's a lot of companies putting a lot of resources into it, and to try to see if it's really going to hold up and make sense. I think they got a long ways to go. And yes, maybe at some point we won't be using the dollar or gold or silver or any other kind of currency. I think it's going to be a long ways down the road because. Because again, all this stuff is up in the cloud somewhere, and I don't know about you, but I like to look at my money.
I guarantee you, both dollars. I like to look at both dollars I have. Yes, sir.
There you go. You know, and all of a sudden you get a call and you say, "Oh, I've got $25,000 up there," and then all of a sudden it's not there.
Yes, sir.
I don't, you know, they've got a ways to go. But there are. I mean, there are some big U.S. companies looking at all of this stuff to see if it makes sense. And, you know, we'll just have to see what tomorrow brings on this kind of a thing. But that cryptocurrency is certainly making its way. And you can, of course, as you know, invest in it. We don't get involved in that kind of thing. But people can.
Sure.
And just like GameStop, you can make a ton of money real quick and you can lose it.
Right. Yeah, that was quick. That was very interesting, that whole deal, for sure. David, hey, man, we appreciate it. Hope you have a good week, and we'll look forward to our visit next Monday.
Thanks, Scott. Be safe.
All right, you as well. That's David Cishon, Cishon Financial Services at C-I-C-H-O-N, financialservices.com, and their number, 720-482-1917. We'll be right back.
Take aim. Affordable Interest Mortgage has been offering the Asset Manager All-in-One Loan for over 11 years. We are experienced in helping homeowners pay thousands less in interest on their mortgage, own their home faster, all without spending one dime more. 720-895-0500. Take aim. Affordable Interest Mortgage, where we have hundreds of clients that have been using this loan to build their equity faster, access emergency funds when necessary, and pay off their home in 8 to 13 years versus 25 to 30. People initially believe this loan is too good to be true, but it is true. Call 720-895-0500 now to see if you qualify. Loans from $100,000 to $2.5 million, same rate. Ask our previous clients. They will tell you it works. Call 720-895-0500 and work with the experts. This loan has been around since 1965. Affordable Interest Mortgage, where it's all about you. 720-895-0500. Regulated by DORA, NMLS 298191, Equal Credit Lender.
KLZ's personal injury attorney, Kevin Flesh of Flesh and Beck Law, has a unique background that makes him a more effective advocate for you. He handles both criminal and civil cases. Most attorneys only do one or the other, but Kevin has almost 25 years of experience on both sides, which means he has more practice in the courtroom. Most personal injury attorneys will say they have experience in court, but since only about 10% of personal injury cases actually go to trial, those attorneys only appear in court once or twice a year. Because Kevin also takes criminal cases, he appears in court constantly. Kevin has a rare ability to present an argument that only comes from years of experience learning how to read a courtroom. KLZ's personal injury attorney continues to practice both civil and criminal defense because he believes the courtroom keeps him nimble. Trial tested, trial ready. Kevin Flesh of Flesh and Beck Law. Schedule a free consultation now at 303-806-8886.
Denver's Afternoon Rush. Rush to Reason is coming up at 3. Now, back to Haystack Help Radio.
Welcome to Your Health Matters, sponsored by Integrated Health Systems. Traditional medicine has left you frustrated. You've seen doctor after doctor searching for answers, only to feel more confused than ever. Chiropractic neurologist Dr. Shane Stedman, along with his team at Integrated Health Systems, does the detective work you need to identify causes, not just treat your symptoms. Using a team approach to combine functional medicine with neurology, Integrated Health Systems spends the necessary time with each client to find out what's really going on. Thanks to Dr. Stedman and his team, many clients who struggle with debilitating health issues have finally found relief. Now, Haystack Help Radio proudly presents Your Health Matters.
Welcome to Your Health Matters. As mentioned, this segment is brought to you by Integrated Health Systems. Their number, 303-781-5617. And each week, a member of the staff there joins us. And today we have Dr. Shane Stedman. Dr. Stedman, how are you, sir?
I'm good, Scott. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Thank you so much. And how'd you like that Super Bowl last night?
I kept watching, thinking that there would be a comeback.
I know. Yeah, we're still waiting, man. I was shocked. I really thought the Chiefs were going to, you know, either win it or make it extremely close for sure.
Yeah, I was shocked. So, yeah. Definitely, I don't think it went the way most people even thought it would.
So. No, absolutely not. Absolutely not. Well, again, our show is brought to you each week by Integrated Health Systems, and we'll go and mention this now, but next Tuesday, the 16th, that is February 16th at 6 p.m., they'll be doing one of their live panel discussions again with each member there at Integrated Health Systems joining in on all things blood sugar. And today we're going to talk a little bit more about just the importance of eating right foods if you possibly have diabetes. And Dr. Stedman, as you know, my sister was a diabetic and unfortunately passed away a couple of years ago, and a lot of different complications later on, but in her life, man. But This is something that's crucial for diabetics, isn't it, to eat right?
Oh, absolutely. And yeah, I think a lot of people know that, but I still see a lot of patients and people who are diabetics that just still don't eat well. And it mm-hmm. kind of blows my mind a little bit, because like you said, there's a lot of complications that can come from diabetes that, again, I think people are very aware of, but I'm just shocked on how many people still don't change their diet or change how they eat and what they eat. It just, yeah, so it's something that really, really needs to be done.
Sure, sure. And, you know, probably sometimes it just takes that scare, so to speak. But then sometimes you've as you said, you've probably had those matter-of-fact conversations saying, you've got to change this. And when you see them not changing it, wow, it's got to be, like I say, hard for you to understand and frustrating.
Yeah, especially I remember a few years ago I had a patient that had diabetic neuropathy, so he couldn't feel his legs, and it was bad, and he still would just want change. You know, and sometimes it gets frustrating when you're like, I really need you to change. And some people, not all, but some people, it's an easy fix that, you know, if you can turn your lifestyle around and get to walking and eating better and getting some exercise in, I mean, you can see dramatic changes. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of people, I think unfortunately sometimes when you get into, you know, people that have, you know, let's say like type 2 diabetes, I mean, there's obviously different reasons for it, you know, but there can be, you know, a cause that if you were sedentary and not eating healthy, it could have just crept up on you. And, you know, it's kind of like weights. You know, you see that with people too, where, you know, people that are overweight know that they need to exercise, or they know that they need to do certain things, but they just can't get there. And sometimes you can have mental blocks. Sometimes there could be some traumas. And I know I'm kind of going off on a little bit of a tangent, but I think at Integrated Health, that's what we try to do, is we try to say, sure, okay, what are these barriers? Like, if you know what you need to do, but you're not doing them, what are these barriers? And that's kind of where you see that team approach of Jake, you know, mm-hmm. doing some of the, you know, I might do some of the rehab on the neuropathy, and Lindsay, you know, helps out on trying to change their diet and trying to get them to exercise and putting together a routine. You know, sometimes I think it takes a community or a village,
sure,
to make these, because maybe that's what got you there in the first place.
Right. Now, with just diabetes as a whole, when you take your practice, are you seeing where some people have just been recently diagnosed with it? Or are you actually the first one to tell them, hey, we just got your blood work back and you're diabetic? And what age kind of are you seeing this mainly with?
You know, we do. I think it's a mix. I mean, there's times when I've ran blood work and, you know, told patients like, did you know you're diabetic? And you know, they're shocked. And yeah, those are interesting conversations, you know, but oftentimes I would say we definitely get people that come in here because they have diabetes and they don't know what else to do, and they're kind of sick of being on all the different medications, and it may be helping, but they still don't know what to do. You know, it's like, it's one thing to take medications, but if somebody hasn't told you, like, here's how you exercise and here's how you eat, then you're just taking medication. So we kind of get a mix, and I would say it tends to be kind of like late 30s, early 40s. I would say mm-hmm. it's probably the more common age group that we see, is because I think in your 20s, you're invincible and you can party and do whatever you want and stay up late. And then, you know, as life, you know, kind of sets in, and kids and careers, you know, and stress, you tend to see that all of a sudden, you know, your blood sugar is now starting to creep up on you, and your body's changing.
Sure. Do you see much in the way, I mentioned my sister, she, you know, she got it at 12, juvenile diabetes, I guess they call it. Do you see much of that with juveniles?
I've seen a pretty good handful over the years. I think a lot of times, I think you see only those who are a little bit more proactive. And I say that not to say that people aren't, so that might come across bad, but there's kind of your type 1 diabetes that you see in juveniles or in kids that, you know, usually medication is their number one and the most important route. And some people is totally controlled. You know, they're like, right, hey, you know, I'm on insulin or I have a pump and I am good to go. Life is great and I can do whatever I want. And then you get some patients that are still struggling to control it, and they might come into our office for some other help. You know, I've seen kids that we've literally changed their diet and seen that they need less insulin. So there wasn't as much of a demand on their system. So that's kind of when I say like proactive. Sometimes we'll get those patients or families that say, hey, what else can we do? Like the pump is or the medication's working. This is a lifelong thing, but what else can we do? And that's obviously that's what we tend to get when it comes down to juvenile or type 1 diabetes.
Right. Now, this discussion that you're going to be having on Tuesday the 16th about blood sugar. So I guess the main point of all that is meaning us folks out here, we just need to avoid foods that cause these blood sugar spikes, right?
If it was that easy, yeah.
Yeah.
I think definitely foods, and this is what's great about the live panels. You know, so this is why I hope people get to, you know, come on. It's free. It's not a webinar. It's actually somewhere you can ask questions too. But, I think these are good things to ask because sometimes it is just diet. Sometimes it's diet and exercise. Sometimes it's stress, you know, and so there's multiple factors with almost any condition. And so I think to talk about something like diabetes and people ask questions, we can say, hey, this is kind of how it works. Or, you know, you've got to look at stress and exercise or reducing stress, doing stress management and going for walks. You know, all these different things can really make some significant impacts into it. But, so during that live panel, like the title says, I think we're going to keep that title all year round. It's all things blood sugar. So
sure.
We're really opening it up to any blood sugar questions that people have.
Right. And, you know, I just recently did a food test with you. Of course, we found out the only thing I was allergic to is vegetables, but no, I'm kidding. But it is sometimes where people sit with you, I assume, and they're eating, quote, what maybe we all think of as healthy foods, but it's not good for their system. And you can help with that. Find out what those foods are, right?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I think the concept that all foods are, you know, or all healthy foods are healthy is not always the case. I mean, you can take, you know, some of these healthy foods that might be genetically modified. There might be some healthy foods that are, they call them like the dirty dozen, you know, that have a lot of chemicals. You know, I think strawberries is one of them. You know, there's some of these foods that they spray, or there's a lot of fertilizer, or they have to, you know, kill off, you know, different, you know, bugs and things that can eat the fruit. And so by the time you get the fruit, I mean, maybe it's causing an immune reaction that's causing stress in the body and inflammation. I mean, you know, or you can have multiple food allergies. And so every time you're eating these foods, it creates food allergies or inflammation in the system. So, you know, I think it's important that, you know, definitely to figure out what foods could be causing it, you know, on top of just like, are you eating simple carbs and complex carbs? Because sometimes it's not just that easy. Mm-hmm. You can have an inflammatory food that's also driving the system.
Right. Dr. Shane Steadman is with us. If you're just joining us, it is Integrated Health Systems, 303-781-5617. And once again, a reminder, it will be a live panel discussion on all things blood sugar. That will be February the 16th at 6 p.m. All you have to do is call 303-781-5617. They will get you the necessary information for the link to that. And as Dr. Steadman mentioned, that's absolutely free of charge. Dr. Steadman, do most of us have some kind of food allergy? And even though it maybe just be a few things, does just about everybody have some allergic reaction to some kind of food?
Yeah, you could probably run a food allergy panel on everybody, and you probably find something that your body doesn't like. You know, and what's kind of funny about food allergies is that they tend to be the ones that you eat the most. Which always makes people mad, you know. So, you know, if you loved, you know, chips and salsa, and that was like your comfort food, and you ate it every weekend, you know, you could do a food allergy panel and might find out you're reacting to tomatoes, onions, and corn. You know, you're right. Like, why? I love this. You know, or, yeah, it's kind of interesting. So usually the idea behind food allergies is you have some true allergies that you and your body and that food just do not like each other, you know, just oil and water. And then there's some food allergies that occur because you overconsume it or you're just eating way too much of that, and especially in a stressed environment. So when your body is stressed, your rest and digest system is not breaking down foods as well as it should. And so now you got this undigested food that your immune system is trying to figure out what's going on. So it, So it goes after it. It says, well, I don't recognize you. You're kind of in disguise. What's going on? And so it can attack, and it creates a memory. So now every time you eat broccoli, you know, if you had to eat broccoli every day when you're stressed out, that was your comfort food, just come home and have a bushel of broccoli, you know, there's a good chance that your body might be like, you know what, I don't like you anymore, broccoli. And so you can develop a food reaction. Wow. So, you know, with the amount of stress that people are on, and some of the foods and healthy foods and GMO foods and all these different things like that, you could probably easily find a food allergy on just about anybody.
Right. Do you find that most people are coming in maybe paying a little bit more attention to, quote, their immune system and trying to get everything built up after all we've been through the last 10 to 11 months?
Yeah, definitely people talk about that more, which is really good. Because it's something that we've always talked about in this office, and I think now that patients are talking about it or asking questions about it, it's good. Or, you know, a lot of times, you know, when we run blood work, I'll say, hey, let's make sure your vitamin D's up just to keep your immune system healthy. And they're like, okay, that sounds great, you know. So, there's definitely a lot more discussion and questions, you know, around their immune system, which I think is awesome and appropriate.
Right. It's funny you mentioned vitamin D. Right before I ask you that question, I wrote down on my note vitamin D with a question mark because I was going to ask you. That seems to come up with all the different things with COVID, that has got to be something that you take. And as you know, I tested positive right before Christmas and, you know, took one vitamin D3 at 50,000 IU each a week. But then You even had me supplement that a little bit. So why is that the key ingredient, it almost seems?
So it's interesting. I mean, like you said, that's been in some of the papers that we read, geez, almost a year ago now when everything came down. You know, we were reading that from the very, very, very beginning. You know, it was vitamin D, vitamin C, zinc, you know, and so we just held on to that, and it doesn't seem to go away. I mean, the research keeps coming out and talking about it. More papers are talking about it. So, yeah, the vitamin D has some really amazing, like, immune modulatory and regulatory roles. And one that, you know, when you get into some of the viruses, and it's all viruses too. I mean, when you get into viruses, I mean, they create a lot of inflammation. You know, and same with COVID, it creates a ton of inflammation in the body. And so what you're trying to do is you're trying to keep the immune system from going, you know, screaming at, you know, 900 miles per hour and trying to say, like, whoa, 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 you don't have to be so overzealous. Like, we're trying to kill this thing, but I don't need you, like, you know, just, you know, attacking tissues and destroying the body in the meantime. Mm-hmm. And that's what you see with even a lot of the medications, too, that, you know, some of the different types of steroids, you know, it's really cool. I'm just trying to get the immune system to settle down, or that inflammatory response to settle down, you know, so you have a good chance of fighting. And so, yeah, a lot of vitamin D, vitamin C, and some of those things like that, that's kind of what you keep reading out there, and it still seems to hold true, you know, even almost a year later.
Absolutely. Once again, if you're just joining us, Dr. Shane Steadman is with us here for a few more minutes. Integrated Health Systems, 303-781-5617. It is a free consult for our listeners to Your Health Matters, and we appreciate that. But, Dr. Steadman, you know, it's amazing. I was in the other day just a convenience store. And I'm thinking about just the blood sugar and what all people, but these energy drinks, I mean, this must be a bazillion-dollar industry, and all everybody's trying to do with drinking one of those is kind of wake up when you stop and think about it. That's crazy, mm-hmm. Isn't it?
It is. And I think, you know, this is kind of where, like, I think blood sugar conversations come around, because sometimes I ask patients, like, why? Why are you drinking energy drinks? You know, and like, well, I'm just so tired. Well, why are you so tired? Mm-hmm. You know, that if you keep asking the whys, sometimes you just come right back around to it. And it's actually amazing how many people don't eat in breakfast in the morning. You know, so they've gone, you know, a long time without eating, and they're like, yeah, I'm really tired, so I go for an energy drink. You're like, well, why don't you just eat, you know? You know, we got a, you know, a patient we're talking to recently, and, yeah, this patient eats, like, once a day. They're talking about how they have low energy. I'm like, well, that would make sense. You know, and sometimes when you have low blood sugar, it actually makes you feel nauseous. So you'll lose your appetite and you actually get nauseous. And so this is kind of an excuse that we hear, well, I don't like eating in the morning because the thought of food just makes me sick and I just feel nauseous when I wake up. Well, that's also a symptom of low blood sugar.
Sure.
You know, I mean, they talked about it with morning sickness. You know, morning sickness, when women are pregnant, you know, they wake up feeling nauseous and, like, food doesn't sound good. So, I mean, I could probably ask you, what's the remedy for morning sickness? What's the old school, you know, what you tell your friends for decades and decades, what's the remedy for morning sickness?
Don't get pregnant. What is that?
It's usually ginger ale and crackers.
Oh, really? Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. That's been the old school, like, hand-me-down advice for decades. It's like, yeah, you put some crackers and ginger ale next to your bed.
Yeah, that's
true. You know,
true.
And the ginger can help with, you know, how your stomach feels. But if you look at it, you're like, okay, that's a sugar drink and carbs.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and so there's been, you know, a lot of... It's funny when patients are like, oh, I get these symptoms. I'm like, morning sickness symptoms? They're like, well, yeah, but I'm not pregnant. I'm like, it's the same concept. So you've got to eat, you know? And so, we talk about blood sugar a lot, that if you're reaching for energy drinks, you're reaching for coffee, you're reaching for a sugary drink in the afternoon, your blood sugar is probably out of whack, and we need to figure out how to stabilize that.
Right. You know, this term insulin resistance, we hear a lot about that. Kind of explain that in layman terms of what that means.
So insulin resistance is pre-diabetes. And so it's usually if you're to look at your blood work, so people who are listening, if you go home or you pull up on your portal and you look at your glucose, the glucose that's between 100 and 125 is considered insulin resistance or pre-diabetes. So what that means is that your body is producing a lot of insulin and you're starting to become resistant to it. And so when you become resistant, then you can't knock down your glucose as well as you should, and it starts to creep up on you. You know, and for some people, this could be years and years and years, and other people, it doesn't take too long. But it just tells you that there's something going on where your body's producing too much insulin for whatever reason. And if we talk about your common type 2, it could be because of diet. So if you eat a lot of carbs throughout the day, then you have to produce insulin. And if you do it all day, every day, for days and days and weeks, then all of a sudden you kind of become a little resistant, and that's your kind of beginnings of your pre-diabetes.
Hmm. Okay. Would you, just an assumption question here, would you assume that most people have eaten maybe a little better over the last 10 months with restaurants being in the condition they were, with all of us not being able to go out to eat as much and we're eating at home, or do you think we eat too bad at home, so that's not good either?
No, I've met few people who have actually changed their diet during this whole thing. I've heard more patients talk about gaining weight and eating unhealthy since this whole thing, and it kind of breaks my heart. But I can say it again because it's the truth. More patients lately have been telling me how they eat unhealthy and they've gained about 15 to 20 pounds since this whole thing started.
Right.
So that tells me that it's not the case. Even like, you know, if I go to the grocery store, you know, you still don't see a shortage on vegetables. You see a shortage on like junk food, you know, and all the unhealthy foods. So definitely, I heard a funny saying from a patient. She had heard somebody say this, that during this whole pandemic, you either became a hunk, a chunk, or a drunk. And I was like, that's
a hunk or a chunk or what?
A drunk.
A drunk. Oh, well, that's probably got a lot of truth to each one of those. Yes,
I know, because I mean, I got work in the liquor industry, and one of my friends that works in that industry, they can't even store pallets of alcohol because the trucks are coming at them so fast that they're literally waiting off the conveyor belt. It tells you how much people are drinking. Wow. You know, and then, you know, you listen to all the people talking about gaining weight, and, you know, it's just, it's something that needs to be changed pretty soon, but maybe it's time to have a blood sugar discussion on how to change your blood sugar and get your life back on track.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, once again, it's February 16th, 6 p.m. I hope you'll join that live panel discussion, all things blood sugar. The number to call, 303-781-5617. They will just get you the necessary information for the link to that. And it's absolutely free. The entire staff will be there to take your questions. And so think of some good questions for them. And we ought to come up with a prize there if they stump the doc. Maybe we'll come up with something like that.
Okay. That'd be good. Okay. I like that.
Absolutely. And integratedhealthdenver.com is the website. And again, the number, 303-781-5617. So about 2.5 minutes left here, Dr. Stedman, but won't you just take a minute? We haven't done this in a while, and just kind of reset for those that maybe just tuning in for the first time maybe this year and all, and just hearing about your practice, and just kind of give us an overview of all that you handle there.
You know, it's a functional medicine practice, and it combines with functional neurology. And what we've really developed here, and this is what makes coming to work fun, is that we have a team approach, and our evaluation of patients is from a team approach. Our treatment is from a team approach. So I think having that team, you have people that are discussing, you know, your case and discussing what's wrong. And in that team approach, you know, consists of, you know, we have a nutritionist, health coach. We have a nurse practitioner that can help with medications. We can also do IV therapies, you know, different things from Myers cocktails to, you know, vitamin C, glutathione. We have, you know, a counselor, Jake, who's amazing, you know, that we can do things like EMDR and trauma therapy and, you know, mindful meditation. And all these pieces come together because, you know, there's both of these issues that people have are multifaceted. And so trying to understand all the different pieces and the puzzles and putting them all together, I think, is what really helps us become successful in trying to figure out, you know, what's wrong with people and how to get them well. But people are a puzzle, and I think if we can solve the puzzle, we can make a difference in people's lives. And that's what we do at Integrated Health.
Right. You know, the IV therapies, take a minute and just kind of tell us, because, I mean, this is really cool that you guys are offering this.
Oh, my gosh. I'm so pumped that I could talk about it all day. Dr. Maynard's actually probably one that could talk about more all day. But, you know, IV therapies, you can do a lot with, you know, autoimmune conditions, immune support, recovery. We're even looking at some of these IV bags where we can do, like, cognitive therapies. So we can start working on some of the brain function and using different things to see if we can improve cognition and brain function. So the IVs is kind of a way of just like really high dosing different vitamins or amino acids or compounds to really raise, you know, somebody's levels. So like we can do a vitamin D injection, raise your vitamin D levels up and then maintain it with a supplement. Or there's things called like NAD and glutathione that we can use to actually make some changes in how the body works in the immune system. And it's just really geeky cool, but it's something that to have at disposal that you can really make a difference super fast is really fun.
Sure. Well, Dr. Stedman, hey, we appreciate your time. We'll look forward to your live panel discussion on all things sugar on February 16th at 6 o'clock. So we appreciate your time today.
Thanks a lot, Scott. Have a great week.
All right, you as well. That's Dr. Shane Stedman, Integrated Health Systems, 303-781-5617. Call them now. Get the link for that webinar, February 16th at 6 o'clock. I want to thank you for joining us today for Haystack Health Radio and Your Health Matters.
Call Integrated Health Systems now for a free consultation, 303-781-5617. That's 303-781-5617. To book your consultation online, visit integratedhealthdenver.com. Thank you for listening to Your Health Matters. Be sure to join Dr. Shane Stedman live every Monday at 12:30 p.m. on KLZ 560.
The views and opinions expressed on KLZ 560 are those of the speaker and do not necessarily reflect those of Crawford Broadcasting, the station, management, employees, associates, or advertisers. KLZ 560 is a Crawford Broadcasting God and Country station.